It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're with us tonight. We have an important study planned for this evening, and we're glad that you decided to join us. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joined by my father, Greg Gwynn. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, glad to be with you tonight on the Virtual Bible Study.
Good to be back with you tonight, and we're glad that you're listening. This is a listener interactive program where we welcome you to take part in the discussion tonight. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions at collegeview.com. We want to hear from you on the program tonight. We've got an important discussion planned for tonight, Dad, a discussion of our tongue. A lot of times we may overlook the importance of how we talk and the language that we use, and the type of image that we portray by the choices of language that we use. We want to talk about that on the program tonight and spend some time thinking about that to remind ourselves of the importance of how we talk.
Well, I think it is an important subject. It's obviously one that affects us all. All of us have to make decisions about what we talk about and how we talk. And in fact, the Bible suggests that we're going to be held accountable, Jacob, for those things. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus said, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And so this is not just, you know, a philosophical discussion or something that we might, you know, just have a pleasant evening chat about. This is eternal life and death based upon our words.
We're talking about life or death here for our soul based on the language that we use, and so it is important. What do you think about our tongue? What do you think about the language that we use? 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. We have a special guest joining us on the program tonight. Dwight Mullett, a member of the church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, is on the phone with us. Hello, Dwight.
Hi, Jacob.
Thank you for taking time to be a part of the program tonight, Dwight.
You're welcome. It's good to be here.
We actually saw each other over the weekend, and you were telling me about a sermon that you were preparing on this subject, and you sparked my interest in the topic and thought it would be good to have you on the program tonight.
That's right.
Well, Dwight, we talked this weekend about the fact that it is so important for us to be on guard about the things that we're talking about because it portrays an image about ourselves to others. And often that image is ungodly in many Christians' life.
That's right. And one of the things I emphasized, too, when I gave the sermon is that we wouldn't say these things in front of a little child or maybe a grandmother because we're concerned for their souls and what they hear. Why would we do it to ourselves? And as a matter of fact, we have to remember Jesus hears and is there for everything we do and say.
Well, Dwight, we talked about the fact that, you know, if we talked the way that we talk in our private life at work, a lot of Christians could get fired for some of the jokes and language that they use in their personal life if they were to use that while they were on the workplace.
That's right. There are many things that people say, whether it's Christians or from the world, that are racially tainted, or they have sin involved in it, that they might get their third mark and be out the door in a business, and I'm sure the Lord is just as displeased when we do that.
Well, Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We're talking about a subject here, Dad, that's very important. We need to understand the importance of the language that we use, the jokes that we tell, the words that we use, because God is watching, and God's going to make us give an account for every word that we use.
That's exactly right. We've got to be on guard, and we have to be making conscious, careful choices about the words that we use and the very demeanor of our conversations. Why? What were some of the arguments that you used in your recent lesson to urge Christians to be careful about what they're saying?
The first thing I established was that it's from an attitude. Psalms 12:4, "With our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" And there were two questions embedded in that: is with our tongue will we prevail. The we in that verse 8 in Psalms 12 tells us is the wicked. And in that, it follows that you'll have that attitude toward who is Lord over us. So the thing I tried to point out was that God knows, sees, and does. He knows everything we do and say, and that he knows even the dirt particle that went into the foundation of the earth at the core through the magma, the lava, became dust and formed Adam. And if he knows that dirt particle to that point, and when Adam died and decayed, he still knows that dirt particle. He surely knows our thoughts and our words before we even speak them.
I like that, the passage you referenced there, Dwight, because it does show who's Lord over us by the way that we talk. God demands that he control our tongue, and so we've got to be on guard and make sure that we're giving God the control of our tongue.
That's right.
What are some of the sins that you think that, give us sort of a rundown of some of the things that you think are sins of the tongue that would indicate that we're not being careful and not using the precautions that we should spiritually, right?
I focused on three or four things. The first thing was just using holy props from the Word of God. And I likened it to a stage where there's acting and people select furniture or pictures to set the stage for the scene. And I quoted Ezekiel 44:23, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And the Word of God is holy. And when we put it in a joke format and use something from the Word of God, I think we lessen it from its intended use, and it now becomes somewhat profane.
That's an interesting point, Dwight. Explain a little bit of how someone might do that.
I know brethren stay clear of telling a joke about God because they understand precisely what I'm saying. But they'll select maybe a prophet or an apostle or something of that nature and maybe write an entire book of jokes about how this is how the Apostle Paul might teach or joke in this light. And I discern at that point, and I get a bad taste in my mouth because I feel we're starting to profane the seriousness, the holiness of
jokes
even
like,
Apostle Paul.
Maybe jokes like Paul got stoned and maybe make a reference to Paul being a
drug
addict.
That's an excellent example because that includes my second point, and that is taking something of sin and putting it in there like that's entertainment. And getting stoned is a sin. It's no different than murder or anything else. So you've iced one there, Jacob. You got the holy thing in there, and also a sin is a prop because that was my second thing, using sinful props, which I liken into, you know, if you walk in and caught somebody cleaning the house and you saw them sweeping dirt under the rug and you knew that something was wrong with the picture, you would say, hey, what are you doing? Well, I'm cleaning. Well, that doesn't really make it acceptable cleaning. There's still dirt in the house, and eventually it's going to catch up. And from my experience with people or brethren that continually have homosexual jokes or instead of using people, they make them animals. There's still sin involved, and that's not what Jesus died on the cross for, so that we might joke and get attention for ourselves.
Well, now, Dwight, I think there's an important point that you're making there, though. When we joke about sin or we joke about the Word of God, what we're doing is we're formulating a mindset or a thought about those types of things, and
right.
And that begins to build up over time where sin no longer is quite as sinful as it used to be, and the Word of God is no longer quite as serious as it used to be by the joking that we do.
Yeah, and it goes one step further. If you stand your ground and refuse to laugh at those jokes, you become ridiculed and mocked, which is the sad thing that I hate to see, is when a Christian decides they're going to tell these jokes and maybe exclude you from the clique because you won't laugh at them. And that happens. That's what follows.
Now, you made a point when we were talking this weekend, Dwight, about the fact that sin is never funny. We get some comic value out of sin when we shouldn't, because sin sent Christ to the cross. Christ died on the cross because of the sin about fornication, the joke that we're going to tell about fornication. We're going to laugh about it, but Christ was dying on the cross for it.
That's right. Philippians 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. And my note was, did not joke about sin suffered. But for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And it says to bring us to God. And we recently have been studying Revelation 4, 5, 6. And I pointed out how John was now in heaven, and John when he weeps, he's corrected for weeping. There's not supposed to be tears in heaven. I don't think that was why he was told not to weep, but he wept because men weren't worthy. And my question is, I wonder if some of these men told some of these jokes, because I couldn't see a man that told these jokes opening that seal. And as I told the class or my audience, I'm guilty of some of these things, but from studying the Word of God and discerning and learning these things, I hold my tongue back because I see John in Revelation. He absolutely ends up saying something, and it's not jokes. He says, "Holy art thou." And thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of angels and all the beasts and creatures heard that, and they didn't hear his joke. So it goes back to, are you going to please yourself or please God with your jokes and all the things you say? But you have to get your heart right to get there.
What do you think about the tongue and the way that we talk? 931-381-4567 is the way you can participate in the program tonight, or send us your comments or questions to questions@collegeview.com. We want to hear from you. This is an important subject, a subject that's often overlooked, how we use our tongue, the way that we talk, what it says about us, and what God thinks about the things that we talk about. Give us a call, 931-381-4567, or questions@collegeview.com.
We're talking with Dwight Mullett from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and Dwight has a background in the entertainment industry. Dwight, you've got some experience in dealing with those who produce various forms of entertainment for public entertainment of various kinds, and you were talking to us before the program went on the air that there's obviously a financial consideration as to why the entertainment industry wants us to think this way, because they got some money to make if they can put out sort of moral filth that people digest. But then, of course, Christians are influenced by it as well.
Right, and a lot of times it's a do-or-die situation that I didn't mention earlier, where it's a competition, and if another company, whether it be in film and TV or also in the country music market, if they have an artist that there's a great following after, well, then that shapes the market, and it, again, as we mentioned, it's a cycle usually. But the cycle across the board, as we know on TV and movies, and in music, sometimes spirals downward, and we like to see things happen that shake everybody's hearts up and cause them to be more humble. Then we fit in the market again much better in terms of our publishing company and our songs that we put out. So, yes, it's money-driven. Yes, it's competition, and it definitely affects and influences not only the people that listen to it, but it affects the artists and anyone who's producing or making the music. There is no one that escapes the influence of where it all heads.
Dwight, briefly explain, I know you've taken a firm stand in your business and how you conduct your business. Explain a little bit about the stand that you've had to take.
One of the first things we started doing about 6 years ago when we started working was...
And Dwight, maybe we should back up and explain. You're in the music industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been asked to be a partner in a publishing company with a songwriter, and it's afforded me a lot of opportunity to meet folks in the film and TV out in California, Canada, throughout the United States. But we let everybody know up front, you know, that we're Christians and that we want whatever we do to do something good with its influence. Matter of fact, I was involved short term with a company that was started where we brought in investors, and we actually read the lyrics from a song that was written, and we read the thousands of letters. We picked about 10 to 20 and had each person in the room read that, and we said, this is our goal. Whatever we put out, we want it to be a good influence. At times, we're not sure if we'll fit in the market, but then things change and the cycle comes back around and we do fit in. So I've had a lot of exposure facing people from the world that actually don't know a lot about God's Word, who in the end, they end up appreciating us. Sometimes we're persecuted, but they end up appreciating us and listening to the passages. We lay out a lot of passages. We spent our first few years even showing a video of a nephew of mine telling the three temptations of Jesus to the new artists and folks that came in our office, just to let them know up front that this is where we stand. And surprisingly, we've been able to influence a lot of things. And I, you know, it's not all dark out there. And if you take a stance, take your persecution, you might end up in a 4 or 5 hour discussion with someone who used to be a member of the Lord's body. And those are some of the opportunities that I ended up running into had we not been taking a stance.
Well, and I know it's not an easy stand to take in an industry that is predominantly immoral.
Right.
But it'd be very easy for you to not take that stand, but then your influence is totally tarnished after that.
Yeah, we've had 2 years of work disappear in about 3 weeks simply because the influence changed around us and albums were dropped or artists were dropped and the calls came in, hey, are you going to have any cuss words in your songs? And we said, absolutely not. But we've held our ground and we continue to move forward. And as long as we can make a fair, honest living doing what we do and we're not forced to write anything that would be sinful, we'll continue using the talents that we have. But I have seen the influence across the board at the speed of lightning of evil, if you will, affect everybody's thinking, and no one is immune to it, not myself or anybody.
But
it
affects us. You have been successful by taking the stand. God's blessed you, and you've had success by standing up for what's right.
And we're most thankful for that, Jacob.
We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we want to take a call from you or give us an email, 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. When we get back, we want to hear from you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Do you remember when elders, deacons, preachers, Bible class teachers, and all church members had a strong commitment to the Word? Do you recall when you could always count on book, chapter, and verse preaching from the pulpit? Can you think back to a time when Christians were known as people of the book because they knew their Bible so well? The College View Church is still trying to be a church like the church you read about in the Bible, and they're still doing the same things that you remember from way back when. Are you longing for a return to the way things used to be? Come and visit. See for yourself at the College View Church of Christ.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad you're with us tonight. We're talking with Dwight Mullett from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, about our tongue and about the way that we talk and what it says for us and how we can control our tongue. We want to hear from you, 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Dad, I believe we have a comment.
We've got an email from Jim in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. Jim, we're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study tonight. Jim says, all too often we've lost the fight with respect to off-color language. Brethren now use euphemisms, words which are softer versions of the uglier word. And I think that's a great observation on the part of Jim. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times you can't tell significant difference between the type of language used by a Christian and some person of the world who has no religious convictions whatsoever. And maybe occasionally, you know, Christians try to tone it down by, instead of saying the exact word, they use some euphemism as a substitute for the word, but the meaning is the same. And it's certainly something, a problem that Christians have got to be on guard. I think you Dwight, addressed this in the lessons you recently taught.
In a roundabout way, but I didn't come right out with euphemisms, and I'm really glad that Jim sent that email in, simply because there are some Christians that understand and accept what Jim is saying, and there's some that are still learning about that subject and don't accept that it means something more profane than what they believe. And believe me, when you're writing a song that you know, such as my business partner, who is the writer, does, and I critique them with her, we have to look at words so closely that I don't even know the term. It goes beyond euphemism, just because we've got to calculate what the world will turn it into or what they could perceive it as. So I'm super critical probably about euphemisms, more so than my brethren. But I think, Jim, that's a great point, and I wish people would have that same level.
I think, Dwight, that, you know, as Christians, we want to go the extra mile.
Right.
In maintaining purity of heart and purity of behavior.
Right.
And so, you know, using euphemisms is just, in my opinion, an effort to see how close to saying dirty words I can get without actually saying them.
Right.
And if And that's just the wrong approach for a Christian who's really wanting to glorify God and do the right thing. And so we, you know, it seems to me that common sense would dictate, don't do that.
Honest common sense, yes. There's got to be a level of self, soul-searching and honesty. And it really goes back to the passage I read in Job, and with our tongue will we prevail, our lips our own, who is Lord over us. And that's the attitude I will find from Christians or even the industry or whatnot when I ask someone to consider their words.
Well, Dwight, you know, it goes beyond what we mean, though. You know, someone who's using euphemisms, they say, well, that's not what I mean. But that's
right.
What you're actually saying. We've got to stop and look at how we're perceived, what we're saying actually means, not necessarily what we mean by it, but what the world could perceive it as.
Right, and these things we're mentioning do offend somebody somewhere, and Paul teaches us not to even ever eat the meat if you know it offends your brother. If you have that knowledge, use love for the sake of Christ. I couldn't agree more. We understand it. And we have to think of the people around us before ourselves.
The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeu.com. If you're just joining us on the program tonight, we're talking about our tongue, the way that we talk, and what it portrays about our character and what God thinks of the way that we talk. 931-381-4567, or questions@collegeu.com, are the ways to participate. Dwight Mullett from Murfreesboro is participating on the program tonight. We want you to join in as well as we talk about the various ways that we can use our tongue in ways that are not pleasing to God and how we should be on guard against that.
Dwight, I wanted to ask you, as a person with connections, in, I think especially in the country music industry, what about listening to that stuff? You know, I got it on in my car radio, you know, maybe I've got it on my stereo at home, and I'm not really paying a lot of attention to what's being said, but, you know, so much of that country music, I mean, you know, the cheating and the drinking and the
right,
so forth.
Right.
What's your opinion of taking that in and constantly listening to that sort of thing? In other words, we're saying Christians don't use bad language, but what do you think are the implications of me listening to that sort of thing without discretion?
Well, it's we are what we eat, and physically we see that happen when we eat improperly. We know what our bodies do. They'll die if we continue to eat wrong. And our eyes and our ears, we're taught to make the Word of God the apple of our eye. There's a reason for that. So I know from experience that what we all listen to, it influences the thinking of whether it's an executive to creative staff to the writers. We all know that in the industry, so I would hope, you know, my brethren, you know, realize that as well, and they realize that for the children.
Now, what you're
saying, impacts us.
What you're saying there, Dwight, is that in the music industry, the songwriters and the artists know explicitly the impact of the words. They choose the words. It's not with indifference or accidentally. They actually choose words specifically to provoke a certain response or to get a certain kind of attention to their product. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, depending on certain songs, there's always the verses, the choruses, the hook. And the thought process is being moved in a certain way, whether it be to be catchy or to be joking or to get across a serious message or to keep you in suspense. There is a lot of intelligence actually in the thought process behind putting together the song and leading your thoughts along. Fortunately for us, we try to keep it on a godly thought process, and it's a battle not to go the other way. And I have to say, those that don't think like that, they don't discern. They don't consider it anymore. They don't realize they're even doing it. It just becomes a habit.
Dwight, I think we need to really emphasize this point, though. In the music industry and in all of entertainment, the objective is, by the artist and by the songwriter, is to evoke some type of feeling in those who are listening, right?
Well, sometimes they're telling stories, and sometimes that story just falls out. It could be a true story. You know, I need to be fair to the writers and the song industry. Sometimes it's written in an hour where someone's telling their life story of something that happened, and those are usually the ones that are written the most simple and most honest, and sometimes they're the biggest hits when it's of purity. And that's the side I want to get in. I've watched people target, well, you know, I've listened to maybe good old boys say, okay, you know, if you want to write a great song, you got to lay in a ditch, be drunk, and come out 3 weeks later, and you can write it. And I said, no, I don't believe that. I believe that we can honor the Lord, honor His word, and our talents will flourish even more so. And so I've watched a lot of good writers and artists who maybe have been maybe jaded some in the past come in and start using that type of approach. And I've watched some really good stories and things come out just from a more pure heart, and I've seen success grow in that realm too. So it depends on where you are in terms of how I'll answer that question.
But now, do you not though feel that at the end of the song, the songwriter or the artist wants you to feel a certain way about the thing that they're singing about? They want you to feel either happy or sad, based upon their song.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's some songs, but like I said, some songs are story songs. And some songs I know and I feel and I believe they take advantage of a person's emotions. You know, if they target it in an evil way to promote that emotion, you know. But there again, some songs are actually helpful and have helped a lot of people too.
But the danger is, though, Dwight, is that we can begin to think like the people who are singing to us. We begin to adopt their way of thought about whatever subject they may be singing about.
Right, I couldn't agree more. And that's where I've had many, many, many battles behind closed doors to say, don't use those thoughts, those terms. Think about the people that might hear that and the influence we're going to have on them. Couldn't agree with you more on that.
The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com.
We've got a couple of emails. Chris writes in and says, we should remember what Jesus said about our language in Matthew 15, beginning verse 17. Jesus said, do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But and so Chris there is making reference to the fact that Jesus said that we speak from what is in our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In fact, we've got another email here from Jim, and he says, let me get to that, Jacob. Hang on just a minute. Here we come. He says there are too many scriptures that address the importance of our tongue. Israel, for instance, was condemned for murmuring and complaining, 1 Corinthians 10, 6 through 10. Jesus tells us that our hearts will dictate what our tongues voice. He says, over 23 years ago when I was taking computer programming courses, we were told garbage in, garbage out. The same can be said for Christians. What we allow in is what will eventually affect our language and our attitude towards using wrong language. And we might reference there, Jacob, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so all of this that we're talking with Dwight about, you know, the corrupting influence of the things we hear in the entertainment industry certainly can have a spiritual impact on us.
Well, Dwight, that's another point that I appreciate Jim for bringing up about murmuring and complaining. There's another exemplification of what's in our heart. Is we're not thankful to God for what He's done for us. When we complain about the blessings that we enjoy, that shows us that our heart is not right.
Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the things I mentioned in the sermon, that we've got to learn to discern, you know, between godly and ungodly, and figure out what taste is in our mouth, and then check out our hearts, and then stay away from even idle words. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And that's a really high standard. And murmuring and complaining is something I mentioned that some people suffered for 40 years for doing that.
The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Time for another break, and we want to hear from you when we get back. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. Well, regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the Virtual Bible Study.
Broadcasting around the world with truth that are out of this world. The Virtual Bible Study. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad you're with us tonight, and we want to hear from you at 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com.
Jacob, got an email from Pat out in Iowa. Pat, we're glad you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study tonight. He says, I was wondering if you'd considered these verses from James 3, beginning verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I think that's a great verse that you bring up, Pat. And I think one of the important things about it is, first of all, it certainly tells us that our tongue can have a damning influence on our souls. I think that verse teaches that as well as some of the others that we've referenced tonight. One of the interesting things about this text is it says the tongue can no man tame. Now, that's not to say that we can't control it, but what it means is it can never be tamed. You know, a tame animal can be trusted. If you have a tame animal, you don't have to constantly keep it tied up or guarding it or whatever. It's tame. You can trust it. But the tongue is like an animal that can't be tamed, and therefore you can never let down your guard. You can never stop being careful. And so I think that's a great verse that you bring up, Pat. He goes on to say most people are just using euphemisms out of habit. I've run into many, many people that see nothing wrong with spouting these type of words. It makes me cringe every time I hear something that dishonors our Lord. And I think you're exactly right, Pat. Some people, you know, I probably would be shocked to even know the root or the origin of some of the words that they are using. That doesn't excuse it. I mean, ignorance is not an excuse in those matters. What if I was saying a cuss word? I mean, a literal cuss word, not a euphemism. I just didn't know it was a cuss word. Well, someone needs to advise me of that. I mean, the fact that I'm ignorant of its offensive nature and so forth is not an excuse that I should just keep on using the word. So people need to find out, you know, what do these words mean? We should not be using words that we're not confident or comfortable with the meaning of them, don't even know sometimes what they mean.
Because others listening will know the meaning, and they will assume that that's what we meant when we said that word.
That's exactly right. Pat, thanks for your email.
The number to call is 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. Dwight Mullen is on the phone with us from Murfreesboro. Dwight, we were talking before the break about your involvement in the entertainment industry, and you've been very successful by maintaining strong standards and relying on the Word of God to direct you on how you are behaving yourself and what kind of material you put out. But explain quickly some of the discussions you've had with people in the industry and some of the driving factors that cause the immorality that we see in the entertainment industry.
One of the things, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, I'm going to use the term political correctness. That was in my sermon too, and that's actually a driving force. It becomes politically correct to do certain things in movies or in songs. And my challenge to my audience was, well, what happened to biblical correctness? And I gave a definition of political correctness as it is the most popular behavior to most men during an election or disagreement, and I'm going to add now in times of entertainment too. And then I define biblical correctness as what is pleasing to the Lord for eternity. So that's part of the driving force, Jacob, is it becomes the thing to do. You know, and a lot of times the shock factor that we talked about earlier, I know back in 2000 I visited several major studios, and I sat through some screenings of new shows that were coming up. And we sat through with different writers from around the world and different people in the industry to look at writing the theme song. It would kind of be like writing the whistling theme song for the Andy Griffith Show, but this one would have words and would last as long as the show at the time would last. And when we finished that preview of the show, you know, there was 20, 30 horrendous sins in the first episode of this particular show that was coming out that just really wore out all of us. Even people from Hollywood that were there were like, wow, this was really a lot of murder, a lot of this. And it's, you know, primetime TV shows. And then the rest of the crowd follows that. And then today, 5-6 years later, we could name any number of shows, and I've actually sat down and done this with some Christians and typed up every particular heinous crime and sin in that show and asked them to read it aloud and brought them to tears and repentance right there on the spot because there's so much ungodly sin in it. So the driving factor is, you know, it's a bottom line for these companies. They have to compete with the other companies, which does not make it right. And they become numb, just like people do on euphemisms. They don't think about what they're doing. They don't discern the taste in their mouth of perverse things, Job 6 and 30.
Well, you know, I've made the point before, Dwight, and I think you'd agree with this. If you were to sit down some evening, I've actually put out this challenge. You choose the shows you watch, but keep a pad and a pencil right at your side. And throughout the night, when you hear God's name taken in vain, make a mark on your chart, on your pad. When you hear a curse word, when you hear a dirty story, when you see an obscene gesture, when you see a crude reference, just note those things on your notepad as you watch, and you'll be shocked at the end of the evening how many things you have noted on your page.
We're like moths headed for a bug light.
Yeah,
we really are. It's constant now, and we're flying towards it.
That's exactly right. And I'm very concerned about Christians. And I hear Christians saying, "That stuff doesn't bother me. That doesn't affect me. I can see that, and it doesn't have any influence on me." That's just self-deception. Wouldn't you agree?
It's self-deception on the first level, and that's where it's most dangerous. It's that first cuss word that a child ever says that does the most damage and changes his heart. And yes, I agree. And Christians need to discern and get back to their hearts, recognize what they taste in their mouth, get their hearts right, and get it to where they don't have any of that in their house or anything that they listen to like that, or else they are deceived. They feel it's a strength, but it's actually a deception.
We're talking about stuff that fills our mind. You know, when we watch this stuff, it goes into our mind. Jesus said if it goes in and it stays there, it's going to cause us to sin. So we've got to be careful about what goes in, not just what comes out, Dwight.
Right. That's exactly right.
We got an email here from Mike in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike, glad you're listening tonight. He says, I don't necessarily have a biblical application, just an observation. He says, I don't know that I've ever heard someone say after listening to a song or watching a movie, I've never heard them say, you know, that song or that movie would have been much better if it had more cuss words in it. You know,
It's more intelligent without him. I'll give him that, and I agree with him 100%.
You know, I've actually heard people say, you know, that movie would have been a lot better if they would have left out that scene or that word. Why'd they have to put that in there? It didn't have anything to do with the plot of the movie or something. I've actually heard lots more comments along those lines.
It's people think they'll do better, and they're deceived. I mean, I see it firsthand, and I'm still smiling about the comment because I've had an opportunity to see maybe a video before it goes out, look at the video, and I've been asked, well, what's your opinion? Well, do you need that type of scene in there? Your parents are Christians. Do you really want it to be on that level? And they actually changed it. And, you know, I've seen that twice. And it's better, whether it's cuss words or sensuality or over the line, it makes it better when they clean it up.
Yeah, exactly right. We got another email from Patrick, and I'm not sure where Patrick's from, but he says, what do you think is the best way to deal with people who murmur and complain? I work with some people who are prone to do that, and I often don't know what to say to them to deter that kind of speech, and sometimes I get pulled into the complaining as well. It can especially be difficult when I think that there's a legitimate reason to be unhappy with a person or a situation. For example, sometimes a customer is difficult or obnoxious, and my coworkers will complain, talking about them behind their back. Sometimes I've been guilty of this too. What advice do you have to help me in such situations so that at least I won't give in to the temptation to complain or talk badly about other people, especially those who have plenty of bad things to be said about them?
Thank you for that question, Pat. Thank you for listening, and thank you for bringing that to our attention, the importance of not murmuring or complaining, even when we might find ourselves in a less than a desirable situation. Dwight, you have any ideas on how we can avoid that?
One of the things I have hanging, it's a gift that I was given. It's Philippians 4, verse 8 through 9. When I walk out my front door, I look at that, and I think about jokes and murmuring, complaining, and whatnot, and I realize it says, think on these things, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, and then that's when the God of peace will be with you. And I remind myself of that, and I share that with people, and I try to encourage that, whether it be writing songs that write something good that's going to do something good in this world. And I remind people that are writers that they have an influence. They're the creator, and anytime you find yourself in a position to create, you have so much responsibility. And I think it's the same when you're talking to a coworker who is murmuring or complaining. You have an opportunity to create a new situation, and you lay out the Word of God, whether it be something they see you reading, you set the right example, you have more of the Word of God around you, and just that little gift on my door has influenced numerous Christians that have had problems with, whether it be complaining or whatnot. I'll tell them to start thinking on the good things.
Well, you know, I think you're exactly right there, Dwight. We're going to think about something, therefore make a choice to think about the positive things and not the negative ones that lead us to have a complaining and murmuring spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, it says, neither murmur ye as some of them, that is, some of the children of Israel of old, murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. These things happened to them for example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The children of Israel in the Old Testament were chronic murmurers and complainers, and it's very clear that God was displeased with that kind of a disposition. And so remembering that and remembering to think on positive things will be a big help. I think that'll help, Patrick.
The children of Israel murmured because they were focusing on the things that they wanted, the things that they didn't have. Instead of focusing on the blessings that God had given them, they at one point even wanted to go back to Egypt. They obviously weren't focusing on the wonderful blessings that God had given them, bringing them out of Egypt. Instead, they were focusing on maybe their thirst or their weariness. And if we're not careful, we can do the same. Focus on the things that we want, the things that we are unpleased with. And so we need to be careful about that. We need to be on guard about the way that we think because it will affect the way that we talk. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. We've got Dwight Mullett on the program tonight from Murfreesboro. Dwight is involved in the music industry and in the entertainment industry. He has had discussions. Dwight, you've had discussions with some pretty big names out there in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to meet a lot of interesting people that have been in the business for years, and some have a dedication to God. It might not be the same practice that we have, and they've watched themselves, watched their tongues, while others, they're doing very well, as the Bible teaches us, using sin as their means.
Do you care to drop any names, Dwight?
No, I've never been a name dropper. Never have.
Okay.
Well, after tonight, Jacob, he can say that he talked to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I did want to mention, too, we were talking about murmuring and complaining. 1 Peter 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful, that's the thing I try to remind anyone that has a talent, whether it be in the music industry, sports, engineering, or whatnot. Be thankful for that talent and use it to the glory of God and give it everything you've got every day, and have a spirit of power and love and discipline, not timidity. Don't be fearful of those that could persecute you, because we need to fear God, who can destroy us eternally.
One more break, and then we'll be back to take it at the top of the hour. Dwight, can you stay with us?
Sure.
Okay, 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Do you remember when you went to church and heard sermons that clearly set forth the New Testament plan of salvation? Can you recall when churches rang out with lessons that plainly exposed false teachers and false doctrines? Can you think back to a time when preachers and members of the church were set for the defense of the gospel? If you are craving to find a congregation that is like the church you can remember from years ago, like the church back in the first century, please visit the College View Church soon. They're trying hard to be a church just like the church you remember, like the one you read about in your Bible. Come and see. Visit the College View Church of Christ.
I'm James Buchanan from Columbia, Tennessee, and I love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study.
Share your comment with the world. Call in now and be a part of the Virtual Bible Study. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad you're with us tonight on the program. Dwight Mullett from Murfreesboro joins us on the program tonight. We're talking about the sins of the tongue, the things that we need to be on guard about as we use our tongue and the way things that we talk about. 931-381-4567 is the number to call. Questions@collegeu.com is the email address to use. We want your participation in the program tonight. About 15 minutes to go. Plenty of time to take your comments. Join in on the program tonight.
We've got an email from Mike S. in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike, thanks for listening tonight. Appreciate your participation. Mike's one of our regular listeners, and he writes in with a definition of euphemism from the Webster's New World Dictionary, defined as, quote, a mild word replacing an offensive one. And then it gives some examples. I'm going to skip the example. I just don't want to say them on the program. But he says, we easily recognize the words that could be substituted in the euphemisms or in the phrases. And if we say those phrases, we're essentially saying the words. We're essentially using God's name in vain. We're essentially using the name of Jesus in vain. We're also using words that are the equivalent of the offensive words that we are trying to replace with the euphemisms. He said, I'd like you to please comment more on euphemisms. We hear them every day. Well, I really don't know how much more to say than we have said and what you've actually said there in your email, Mike. It's clear. And I think anybody who has any sense at all about what those words are used for can see. I mean, and again, there's some examples, but I'm not going to say them over the air. But they're just direct parallels to the curse word or to God's name in vain. And people need to think about that. We need to be careful about just using words and just throwing phrases around and not concentrating on the importance of their meaning.
That's right, Mike. Thank you for listening. We've got to be on guard, and we've got to make sure that what we say portrays a godly attitude and a godly heart, because the things that we're talking about show what's in our heart, and we've got to be on guard against that. Well, Dad, as we talk about...
Let me give a verse there, okay. Jacob. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 29, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. The corrupt communication there, Thayer says that it is that which is rotten, putrid, not fit for use, or worthless. And examples are curse words, coarse slang, and euphemisms. And so, if you wanted a Bible verse, and this will go to Mike's question about euphemisms and how should we deal with that and what should we say about it, I believe that euphemisms would fall into the category there of Ephesians 4, verse 29, as a corrupt communication, and we're not to let that proceed out of our mouth.
All right. Well, as we talk about using our mouth, and we want to make sure that we use our mouth in the right way, you know, when we talk about our thoughts, Dwight, and we talk about wanting to think in the right way, we think in the right way by thinking on good things, and by thinking on good things, we automatically will not be thinking on those things that are evil. That's how we control our thoughts, is by directing them in a way that's positive. The same is true for our tongue, Dwight. If we want to talk about things that are godly, if we want to use our tongues in a godly way, we simply have to be focused on talking godly, and then we won't be talking ungodly.
Yeah, that's right. You have to discern the taste in your mouth, and I think that's the first step that I tried to invoke in everybody, is, are we even bothering to discern? And I used an explicit illustration. I said, if I put one maggot in your food, would you eat that food? And, of course, the face has grown, and no one said, yes, give me some food with a maggot in it. Now, if I call it a euphemism and make it a very small maggot, it's still something that doesn't taste right, and we can discern that quickly, and we do that, and that's what God's Word tries to tell us to do about the things we say is discern. And if we can't discern, our heart isn't truly honoring the Lord. It's honoring ourselves, and we have an attitude of going ahead and saying what we feel is okay and pleasing those around us.
In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 3, Paul writes, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." The word filthiness refers to that which is obscene and all that is contrary to purity. But I think right in line with what we've been talking about tonight with Dwight on the program and controlling our tongues and being careful about our speech as Christians, the two expressions there we ought to maybe pay special attention to, foolish talking and jesting.
Right.
That refers to coarse, offensive language, dirty, off-color jokes, vulgarity in general. Thayer says it especially refers to someone who would take an innocent comment or remark and make something vulgar, suggestive, or crude out of it.
Right.
Now, obviously, there were, you know, it's almost hard to imagine it, but what's obvious from this statement is that way back there in the first century in Paul's day, there were people who told dirty jokes and turned innocent comments into something filthy. And Paul addressed that there by inspiration, that's just not supposed to be characteristic of a Christian.
They were doing this before TV was around.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's right.
And I have a name for that. When that happens, I call it the evil genius, and it's in all of us, and it's the child in the playground that says the first thing that comes to mind is thought without any consideration for anyone, himself, or God. We let those, whatever, 400 thoughts a second fly out. It's a genius and it's evil unless it is controlled. It's the unruly evil in the tongue. And euphemisms are another example of that quick blurt, that idle word that flies out that has not gone through a filter. And euphemisms too are, we're profaning something. We're taking something that has one meaning and we're substituting something in there and we're starting to cause profaneness or confusion. The evidence that this is occurring is the fact we're having this discussion. It's true in our culture that there are euphemisms and they cause a lot of different thoughts and invoke a lot of different things where we could substitute the true word and the true meaning and reduce any confusion where Satan loves to dwell.
You know, Dad, in that passage that you noted, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it's interesting there that filthy talking, foolish jesting, and foolish talking, those are listed there right alongside fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. Basically, what Paul is saying there is if you're talking about it, it's equivalent with doing it in God's eyes. You're just as sinful by talking about it and joking about it. Dwight, we need to understand that fact.
Right, and we're to be relevant to whatever we're addressing, not insane about it. And Colossians 4 and 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So if you're saying things in a euphemism style way, maybe you really didn't have the right answer, or you were about to use an adjective or an adverb that would be too explicit and offensive, and you watered it down a little bit, and maybe you swept a little dirt under the rug is what I'm getting at.
The number to call is 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com. Still time to take your comments. We're talking about the tongue on the program tonight. I want to hear from you.
Before we end, Jacob and Dwight, I think it'd be very appropriate for us, and we've been talking about things that we ought to avoid. Let's spend just the last few minutes of the program talking about things we ought to be doing with our tongues,
right,
things we ought to be saying. Dwight, start us along that line.
Are we live?
Yes, we are.
Oh, I apologize. Okay. We should, once our heart's right, and it's in accordance with God's will, then speak. For example, our answer is Proverbs 6 and 1. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So if our hearts are humble, not full of pride, then we will answer. It's just like Moses. When Moses, you know, refused God and he didn't want to speak, God said in Exodus 4:11, and the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth, or who hath made the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" So if your heart's right with the Lord, God will put those right answers in your mouth through his word if we study. You can praise God when your heart's right and you speak right. Luke 1:64, and his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And that Zacharias, he was made dumb for quite a period of time, but the first thing he did when his heart was right and he now had the respect for the Lord that he should, and he wrote the name John on paper, he praised God. We can pray. We can also have good health and give good health to other people. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. We can plead for the poor in Proverbs 31:9. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And again, that's a problem with the heart, problem with our tongues, if we don't do things for the poor of that nature. There's just endless amounts of passages in the Bible. I'm still trying to soak in my couple weeks of study of the hundreds and hundreds of passages and things we can do once our heart's right and our tongue is right. We can protect ourselves. Psalm 39:1, keep your tongue while the wicked is before you. There's just so many things that God says, teaching, Matthew 5:2, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, that's Jesus. We can rebuke properly. And a rebuke is not an insult. Jesus pointed out sin, and he didn't, destroy the individual. If our heart's not right, our tongue's not right, then we confuse a godly rebuke with simply an insult. So there are many things you can do. You can preach when your heart's right, your tongue's right. In Acts 8:32, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Ephesians 6:19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And then most importantly, and I'll finish up my comment on these two, we can confess the name of Jesus. If we know Jesus, if we believe his word, if we have the right heart, if we're ready to repent, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The right heart, the right tongue will confess Jesus now. The wrong heart, the wrong tongue, which waits, will, be subject to Romans 14:11, which is, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So we have choices. We can study God's word. We can learn to discern by comparing God's word to the words and the terms that we use today. And in doing that, we'll learn many, many ways to use our tongue properly, which will replace murmuring and those types of things and euphemisms and holy props and gaining attention for ourselves. And we will learn to honor God, honor our fellow man with our hearts, with our tongues, who God prepares with his word. And we'll be able to teach others to do the same.
This goes back to a verse that we used at the very beginning of the program, Dwight. In Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Certainly, we want our words to be such that will justify us in the day of judgment and not condemn us in the day of judgment. And therefore, we got to be careful to avoid things we should not say. But on the other hand, we need to be busy saying the things that we should, as you've just emphasized so well.
Right, and I finished my sermon with these passages, which I think are fitting. Psalm 17:3, thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Psalms 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lip from speaking guile. And then James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And I can't say it any better than the Word of God speaking. I just think it's important to get the bad taste out of your mouth and to repent if you recognize you've had a bad taste in your mouth. And I enjoyed the comments I got after the sermon where people said, yeah, we're basically numb to what we're seeing, what we're thinking, what influences are around us. We're not even discerning anymore. And I think from my lesson, people learned that they need to be in that process of discerning what they'd let the children see, what they would show to their grandparents, and then also remember that Jesus is sitting right there when they speak.
Well, Dwight, I think talking about it is the first step towards thinking about what we're talking about, and I appreciate you for taking the time tonight to help bring some of these things to our mind.
Thank you, Jacob, and I sure appreciate you inviting me to do this. I hope it's been helpful.
It's been very helpful. Dad, thank you for your time tonight.
Thanks a lot. James, real quick, one thanks last email. Much. Thanks, Dwight. Appreciate your involvement in our program tonight. Thanks very much. Got one last email from Mike in Columbia. He says, Psalm 59:16, as for me, I will sing of thy strength. Singing's a good use of our tongue. Singing to the glory of God, obviously, would be a good use of the tongue.
Mike, thank you, Mike, for your comments. Thanks you to everyone for listening to the program tonight. We've got to be on guard, Dad, against the things that we allow into our heart because they're going to come out of our mouth. We've got to make sure that our heart is in the right place, that our heart is right with God. In the wicked world that we live in, that takes a lot of work to make sure we have a pure heart.
That's right, and I'm afraid that we too often don't even give any thought to it at all, and it's obviously the thing that we need to give lots of thought to. So I hope that our program tonight has been helpful to encourage people to that end.
Thank you again for listening. If you have any questions or comments about the things we talked about on the program tonight, send us an email at any time. Send an email to questions@collegeview.com or call us 931-381-4567. We hope you'll make plans to be back here next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.